Harvard University School of Public Health, MPH. His talk is A Partnership for Sustainable Institutional Capacity Building, Innovations and Lessons from SAMU's UDS Initiative in Local Health Education. So we don't forget your conference.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I do not have any conflict of interest. I don't know what happened to that particular slide, but I'm telling you in front of so many audience. Okay, I would like to dedicate this presentation to Professor Anna Faye Van Cook. She passed away last year. She was one of our institutional leader for this particular partnership project. She conceived that, and we went together to Ghana. Unfortunately, she's not here. I really miss her in that regard. The background of this particular partnership started even before we received a grant from USAID in 2008. It started with the Florida A&M University initiative to outreach international settings to develop partnerships. So we went as a team to Ghana. And as you may know, those who are familiar with Ghana, this particular institute in University for Development Studies, UDS, located in the northern part, most of our partnership, our means I'm talking about USA partnership, are with the institutions located in the southern part, like Accra, Kumasi, and Cape Coast. What we did in that time, we traveled from the southern part to the northern part and met six different institutions for possible partnership. And I realized that, okay, this is higher education partnership. Who should be targeted? Those who are mostly underserved, those who are in need of doing that. So we looked at UDAs, that they have six different branches in the remote area, rural area, and serving the most underserved population of the country. So we choose that this probably would be a good public health target for partnership, and we outreach them. And we outreach, but they identified their priority areas, what area we should focus on. So they identified through their institutional process that we need to focus on certain areas. And then we developed a descriptive title of this partnership by active participation. Participatory methods was used to develop this. Developing and implementing a strategic plan for human and institutional capacities at the University for Development Studies, School of Medicine and Health Sciences, to address community health challenges, maternal child health in particular, in northern regions of Ghana, to meet the Millennium Development Goal. The country profile is in West Africa, as you may know, is not very large country compared to other, and population size also very small. And if you look, this is Accra, the capital, Cape Coast. So up to Kumasi, it's a very well-developed, if you're familiar with the country, everything is so nice, then beyond Kumasi, it's a different story. So I had to go there two times in a year, stay in a month or so, and I can tell you the story for hour and hour. It's a different experience, but I took the challenge personally. The reason is I grew up in the similar kind of environment. And I thought that's what I should be motivated for, the reason I should be. Because I need to do, doesn't matter which population I'm serving or going or outreaching. It's all the same. That's the philosophy of public health should be. So let's take a look at some of the statistics. It's 23.4 million population, less than 15 years old, 50% total, 239,046 square mile, current growth rate 1.9%, per capita income, very good, life expectancy 55.7 average only. But if you look at this per capita income and look at the northern part, it's totally different. Over there, some households income or living only per dollar or $1.50 per day, the expenditure there. So what we did, we identified issues from their national health statistics. For example, number of family planning accepted decreased from 2006 to 2007. Percent of total deliveries by skilled personnel also decreased. Total number of maternal death increased, and percent of under five children also increased. And if you see, underweight increased 5 to 8% from 2005 to 2007. So this is one issue in maternal and child health. Second issue we identified, that they have lack of institutional capacity to meet the challenge, lack of sufficient qualified trainers, and no equipment laboratory facilities at all, lack of incentives to serve in the local communities. Even in the UDAs, they're trained physician, none of them stay for even internship. They move to Accra, and it's like 100% rate to move from Tamale to Accra. So that was a challenge for this particular initiative too. And inequalities in resource allocation. The issue number three, we identified that 60% of the population depends on agriculture in the northern part, 30 to 40% living below poverty line, 13% lie below the minimum level of dietary composition, and child malnutrition over 22%. And these are government statistics, and I can tell, since I grew up in a developing country, so-called developing country, I would say resourceful country, or resource-constrained countries. Those statistics sometimes are very, very underreported or to some extent overreported, depending on which direction it goes politically. Stunted children over 30%, underweight children 7%, 22% show some degree of wastage. So we combine these two three factors together, that what are the causes for all these problems? Lack of adequate medical service, food insecurity, lack of safe drinking water and sanitation, poor infrastructure, high literacy, and lack of incentive to serve the local communities. So if we combine that if we want to serve the women of this target population, maternal child health issue, just providing health service or medical service would not be sufficient. So we combine agriculture to kind of address the issue of malnutrition at the same time. I call this model aggressive partnership model, and copyrighted to myself. The name, you may disagree with me, but the reason I said aggressive partnership model, that we need institution from higher education, we need NGOs, we need target communities, we need public sector, we need everybody on board. Otherwise, this is not going to happen. If we want to change agricultural policy, we need the Ministry of Agriculture, Health Ministry, the political people, the NGO and other stakeholders. So this is what we did, really aggressively outreached everybody and got support from the local institution, the community, NGO, international organizations, to address, and of course the public sector, to address health and food security issue together. So this is my conceptual model, I would say theoretically grounded, that if we can use community from the rural area, outreach, do research component, training and advocacy together, then we can create a social transformation. And long-term goal would be social transformation. Otherwise, just providing one-shot intervention will help for temporarily, but there will not be any substantial and sustainable effect on the population. And I can go and explain everything from health behavior theories to social change theories to social capital model, but I think I don't have that much time. But I'll just tell you that this is a very extensive conceptual model, that partnership should be on the basis of this course targeting the social transformation. And this was just the logic model for planning grant we received from USAID and Higher Education for Development, that a community participatory research, behavioral ecological model, social capital and social network, and these are the inputs and outcome would be sometime like creative our priority areas, the inventory of facilities available, so that we know exactly where to intervene and what type of development should be done down the road. So our strategic plan was based on our vision, our strength, weakness, and other analysis, UDS and FEMI, we did both analysis. We also used the analysis for the communities. And then we formulated 2 to 5 year targets, 6 to 10 years, and then implementation, like initiate, propagate, and evaluate. And control would be considered as a process or immediate impact and outcome measures. So what we did, we used these goals and measured that for the first 2 years, the following objective would be achieved, like establish a video communication center in Ghana at UDS, so that many of this distance learning could be delivered through this distance learning process. So when we did that, our lesson was up to Kumasi, they had the fiber optic service, but beyond Kumasi, they don't have. So we had to communicate. We had to actually, I personally went to the local USAID office and asked them that, is there any way we can help to kind of propagate this process through the government of Ghana? And they were extremely helpful. They immediately connected to the people in the government. And we came to know that within 1 or 2 years, they're actually planning to transfer that fiber optic connection in that area. So development and refinement of curriculum and training of midwives, establish a center for global health at, in our institution. Because when is it partnership for sustainable capacity building, I don't mean just the host country or resourceful country. I also mean that we also need that capacity building. Not all of our higher education institutions have that capacity. And as you heard from it's my honor to actually speak in front of him and with him, that world leader like him pointed out that we need this competency in our curriculum. And that curriculum not being developed or incorporated in most of our, or if not most, or many of our higher education institutions. So that was also our goal, to develop that institutional capacity at Florida A&M University. So training of the trainers would be done between these two institutions, in concentrating in global health and certified program, also behavioral science and health education program. The mainstream curriculum for mid-level agricultural extension professional at UDS, and since we have a very good agriculture, by name we are Florida A&M University, right? Agricultural and mechanical. Our agriculture is extensively working in global health setting, so we incorporated that. And training and research for 2 or more FAMU graduate, so that they can go and conduct study over there. So recently, one of my doctoral students just came from Ghana with her dissertation data on food insecurity and social support. So that's what we are targeting here. And submission of more grants, because you will see in a minute from our lessons that without multiple grant support, we cannot do anything. And initiate some baseline study in community. So we conducted a baseline study for 2 regional, I would say villages or communities. We can say one experimental, another control, so that we can evaluate at the end what substantial change has happened between these 2 communities. And social marketing campaign was one of the target. So for the first 5 years, our goal and objective was to establish a complete training program, establish a community-based program to train women as well as their husband. That's my personal kind of agenda, I would say. That in MCH, addressing MCH, we just cannot tell that women are responsible to get educated or something. The male should take even higher responsibility to take part in the activities. Next, same thing, as I said, that to establish 3 faculty members from UDS to train in higher education. And UDS Family Partnership will expand the training and service area to other MCH issues. It's not just safe delivery, but also we cannot ignore the malaria prevention as a part of the MCS outcome. Because of malaria, not only mother dying, but also anemia, malnutrition, all kind of outcome there, you can imagine. STD prevention and HIV prevention and immunization also be expanded gradually. And we need social marketing, we need two communities to compare. And 7 to 10 years, the objective would be to provide expertise in mid-office training, so they have a regional target that in the northern part, if you remember the map, they can actually access the north part would be Nigeria, Benin, and then other neighboring countries, they can expand their services. And we also outreach some institution from that area so that they can collaborate with this institution. So that was the long-term goal and capacity to expand training and services in the area of MCS issues, as I just mentioned to you. So what are the lessons in this particular process? That multiple funding sources are critical, very critical, because we received the initial grant, then we had another opportunity to go for the second round. Sometimes funding sources from other institutions can come as a complement or supplement. Higher education and USAID, they had initial objective to generate huge amount of money so that they can at least fund 13 to 15 different projects. But unfortunately, they expected amount of money was not generated, so some projects are not funded, though it has high potential to go to that level. So that would be kind of common sense lessons that we learn. Higher education institution must have global health mission. Without the commitment from our institution, we cannot expand, and that's for sure. And it's not Freud A&M University, it's a small university, but our president, provost, everybody is very much committed, and they announced several times that we have this global health mission and we need to expand our services in that way, whatever the strength we have in different areas. Like we are one of the public health institute located in College of Pharmacy, uniquely, I think that's the only in this country. So pharmacy student we are sending to Kumasi for pharmacological collaboration. They're looking at different type of plant materials for pharmacological product or different type of anti-disease properties, for example, anti-diabetic properties. And some of our faculty already received some patent on that. So we're expanding that issue in different level. But political stability in the host country is important. It happened when we started, they had an election, and I had the opportunity to report to CNN what is going on with the election, because nobody can go in that remote area as a journalist. I'm not saying nobody can go. I mean, they did not go in that time. So it was reported that that change actually had huge impact on our particular project too, because the two different political views came out. Support from the local government of the host country very critical, and all programs should be aligned to the needs of the host institution. That's very critical. And top of everything, I would say cultural relativism. Many times we go there and we feel like, okay, as an American, our culture is the best. So, and I'm an American now, so I know both cultures, but there is no such thing. The whole myth of cultural supremacy doesn't exist anymore. We are not in a colonial era anymore. That's the beauty of global health, and I think that brings the beauty to public health too. And I'll just quickly go some fourth voice. This is the campus I'm talking about. When we went there, they started developing their new buildings, and this is part of area, and now it looks like this, so you can see the changes. And the village only like 5 miles from the Tamale city area, and as you can see, this is me, of course. This is the chief of the village, and we had to kind of very much sensitive about the cultural issues, how to approach to them. and get their friendship and partnership. This is the only hospital. And I took this and wanted to show that, see, this is from the maternal Ghanaian obstetrics department. This is the water supply for surgical procedure too. I think that tells a lot how much we need global health. So this is my contact information, and I acknowledge our team members from UDS and FAMU, community members from Ghana, and special thanks to our provost, Cindy Hughes Harris. Without her personal support, I couldn't have done anything. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Any questions for Dr. Rosa? Yes. I'm curious, when you talked about the TOT, because that's clearly a strong component of training, how did you make decisions about who the trainers were from the Florida side?
That's like every institution has, like we have our director, we have our committee members, and they will decide. From there, from UDS, they will select their own candidates, and we kind of live up to the institution and who has the potential to actually do something different and willingness to, you know, go.
Maybe I should rephrase the question. On the University of Florida side, how did you determine that the people doing the training were competent and what they were doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got that. Yeah, absolutely. Competency. You consider those who are working in agriculture field, and we know that they have come through a process of doing that. Competency level, global health competency, I would say, and that's another remark I wanted to make, that Dr. Brookins actually helped me for next two semesters work that I'm doing to develop a global health competency for our faculty members. And now we can see how we can incorporate, it's not just for students, even for faculty. When we're talking agricultural issues, that's perfectly okay. But when it is global agriculture, we need to incorporate that global perspective to it. We have a pretty good mechanism because some faculty members are working in agriculture internationally, for example. And on health side, I took the lead. I think some competencies coming from the training people received and the work they're doing in research and publication. So that's how we determine. It's not that we randomly selected people who will be the trainer. I think that's pretty much non-organized form at this stage, I would say.
I don't know enough about University of Florida. You guys have a midwifery program down there?
I'm sorry?
You have a midwifery program at University of Florida?
We have nursing, we have allied health sciences, and there is a school of medicine in our next. But this training are not at FAMU. The training all over there. All the training over there, they are coming at FAMU only for public health and global health training. See the point? The midwives training over there.
I'm wondering about your trainers that you're sending over there.
No, we are not sending trainers from our side. We are recruiting trainers from Ghana, from international settings, from different kind of health sectors. And I think that's a very good question to explain the mechanism. The training session for midwives over there, the School of Medicine over there will organize the training, and the trainers coming from inside Ghana. Make sense? We are not going to train the midwife. We are bringing them for public health, agriculture, and global health training. The strength we have. But the midwives training, because this is so important to know the mechanism, how the midwives actually work over there. So our trainer for the UDS recruiting the trainers from different hospitals, the government sector. Actually, the government has a midwife training division too. So we are recruiting trainers from inside. I think that's a good clarifying question. No, we are not providing any midwife service or training. Yes.
Well, I think we'll move on. We will have some time for discussion at the end.
Thank you again.